didn't. But since no one took notes, Rachel said she would do it if we give her that. Okay. We're studying the resurrection, or the word resurrection. Let's see if we can understand what it. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I've read it a jillion times, and I never saw what we're going to talk about here. This Bible is literally falling apart. Ephesians 1. This is the prayer. There are two prayers, really incredible prayers, in Ephesians. One is starts in Ephesians 1:15, and the other is in Ephesians 3:14. But they're prayers that really sum up the entire gospel. And so let's look at first at Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heaven, in the heavenly places, or it actually says in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And then this is the phrase that just blew me away when I saw it. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the fullness fills, which is incredible. Now let's see if we can understand what that means. Go to 1 Kings, I think. 1 Kings 8. The temple has been finished. And then this momentous thing happens. They brought the ark into the temple. And let's see what happened when they brought the ark into the temple. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Now, that feast is what? In the seventh month. And let's read.
Rosh Hashanah?
Let's look and see. Well, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles are all in the seventh month. But let's go on. And the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand and minister inside because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. When the glory of the Lord, and there's many, many places where this happens, within the temple, when the glory of the Lord in the tabernacle in the wilderness and in the here now at the dedication of the temple. No, once the glory of the Lord was in the temple, man could not. They had to leave the temple first, and then the glory of the Lord came, and then they couldn't get in. So what does this tell us? It's about the fullness that filleth. What does it tell us about us? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. If any man, in 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. In the context of this, we are the temple of the living God. Once we leave the temple, and we must leave the temple as men, as beings. Once we leave the temple and the glory of the Lord fills the temple. And once the glory of the Lord fills the temple, flesh can no more get in. And this is how abandonment happens. You first have to get out of the temple. And once you're out, and the glory of the Lord fills the temple, it's that fullness which fulfills. And that's the place of sanctification. Does everybody understand the importance of this?
What's the connection in 2 Corinthians 5?
that everything is new.
Oh, okay.
Didn't his spirit drive them out? You know what it said?
Mm-mm. It says when they left.
You sure? Let's go back to that.
All right. First Kings chapter 8. Verses 10 and 11. Go ahead and read it, Gary.
It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord.
When the priests came out of the holy place, then it filled.
So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud.
They couldn't get back in. Do what?
That's what it says.
Now, what does that mean to us? Before the glory of the Lord can fill the temple, you must leave the temple. And it's again, for reference, it's in 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. And it's wherever the glory of the Lord fills the temple, men cannot get in. That's the bottom line.
Flesh cannot stand.
For what the idea, the whole mystery here that has anything to do with us is this is why the first thing Jesus said to his apostles. Abandon yourself. And that doesn't mean, that means leave all of you behind. So that the new filleth them, can fill all and in all. The fullness of, the fullness then fills. When I read in Ephesians, let's go back there again, Ephesians 1. Verse 23, just one verse. Well, in verse 22, start 22. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. But he can't fill all and in all until you leave the temple. Because as long as you're still in the temple, then the evil one is still on the throne. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Oh, Pete, I'm going to have to bring out my new Bible, my 30-year-old new Bible.
Do you even know where it is?
I know exactly where it is. Unless somebody stole it. Starting verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or worship. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God, because he judges for himself good and evil. Or good and better, or good and worse, or all the infinite number of rankings and that come with that. Showing himself that he is God. Why? Because that's what you're hardwired to do. You always remain controlled. You can talk about the resurrection, you can talk about the Holy of Holies, you can talk about it, but as long as you are there, the glory of the Lord cannot fill the temple, and Jesus Christ is now the glory of the Lord. That's why this is the failsafe from God's standpoint. Flesh and blood cannot get even near. But then watch what happens. So go to verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming here, but it's really presence. It's parousa. He shall destroy with the brightness of his presence once the glory of the Lord fills the temple, and then there's no more you. There's no more evil one. That's the meaning of the resurrection to us. We're not resurrected. He is resurrected. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He doesn't share the resurrection. He doesn't give you life. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I think. Maybe it's 1 Timothy. I always get that confused. Well, we read this yesterday. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing or revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times past he shall show, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Speaking of, remember that word in chapter 2, look in starting verse 14. Of these things we have to start in verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with, we shall also live with. If we suffer, we shall also reign with. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved. And remember that word study is peristemi. Present yourself without condition to show yourself approved. Unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat it doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. To say the resurrection is past already means that there was a resurrection in the past, and there will be an ascension or something in the future, but right now you're still left to do your best, to do the good, to try to get saved, to do all those things. Concerning the truth of errors, saying the resurrection is past already. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. It talks about how he was crucified and then buried. And then in verse 4, and he that was buried, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present day, unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, as so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins, then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope, in Christ we are of all men most miserable. Well, we're not going to read all the rest of that, but let's go over to verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, which are such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And then it goes on. But it's more and more and more and more. There's this idea that to partake of the resurrection, to be of the resurrection, to be of that glory, you must leave the temple. Amen?
Yeah.
There's a bunch more, but that's enough for today. Repeating that one verse again that I know. Become my favorite verse lately. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Just think about the number of times that the glory of the Lord filled the temple or the tabernacle. And the people couldn't remember. It's over and over in the Old Testament. And every time those that had eyes to see saw the glory of the Lord, saw Jesus Christ. Anybody see anything more clearly? Anybody have any response to any of this?
Yeah, it's a clear picture. That we don't, if we're there, he's not there. When we're out of the way, he occupies.
He the fullness which filleth. All right, take it, big guy.